The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
Welcome back. NBA playoffs in full swing. If only we had a renowned, respected, hugely popular national writer at our disposal weekly to come in and break everything down for us. But we got Sam Amick from The Athletic joining us right now. Who is all those things?
Is he plugging anything today?
Let me see. Is Sam plugging anything?
I know I'm shamelessly pumping the poll here.
Is that real? Yeah. Good morning, Sam.
That was my finest moment on the show.
It will live forever.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of use out of that, Sam. Yeah. I don't know. I know you go on a lot of other shows, and that's fine. You know, as long as you're thinking of us while you're doing it.
Hello.
But I just hope that when you come on here, it's a little more unique than. I just can't imagine you going on the Today Show or whatever is respectable. I don't know where he goes. They're talking about you pumping the poll. Which, by the way, was a poll that The Athletic put out last week, and we encourage you to go view it at theathletic.com or on the article, on the website, all that stuff. So, yeah, Sam, welcome in.
I appreciate it. Good to see you, boys. Thank you for letting me always pump whatever I need to pump on this show.
Wow. Did you just clean your camera?
I did. That happened.
We had a long conversation yesterday about something, Jason and I, and
probably sports related. Maybe.
It was. Maybe. It was why I texted you, because I was actually going to have you pop in real quick if you weren't doing nothing, but you were. I noticed your noties were silenced. I didn't respond yesterday. I wanted it to be a surprise today for you. We got really excited about this, but then also, like, about a half hour ago, we said, you're going to come on and, like, just burst our whole bubble with this thing. So we were talking about how Roger Goodell said that he wants to make the NFL 18 games, cut the preseason to two, and then put the Super Bowl on President's Day weekend, whether it's a Saturday or Sunday, the idea being that a lot of people have Monday off, so you kind of help with the whole holiday after the Super Bowl thing. And so Jason had brought up, you know, look, we can all agree the pandemic was terrible, but one of the, I guess, bright spots of everything that happened was we got to see what would happen if the NBA season started on Christmas. So what we were thinking is, this is the perfect sports world, Sam. The NBA opening day is on Christmas, and the NBA and the NFL kind of cut a deal where unless Christmas falls on a Sunday, the NFL leaves it alone. That's going to give the NFL more of their year to themselves and a little bit of baseball. Then as it happened before, basketball goes all the way. All right, you have the All-Star game. What do we say, Jason? In April?
April.
Then you have the NBA Finals sometime in August. You then have the Vegas Fall League, which might be the best part, the draft, free agency, all of that. And then as basketball and all that's winding up, you've got MLB playoffs, which is the only part of the season that matters. You have training camps open and preseason starting in the NFL, and they kick that off. And we have year-round awesome sports to talk about. Why would the NBA not want to do that?
Man, you're throwing a lot at me.
I know. Good morning.
I mean, where is the void that you're trying to fix right now, I guess?
June, July, and August, where it's just baseball, and we don't want... This is all really, Sam, about content for our show for the summer, where we don't have to talk about, the Giants fell 3-1 to the Pirates, and it's game 80.
Yeah, if you start in December, then that pushes everything back. Yeah, it's just basically starting everything later, giving football more of its open window, and basketball really more of its open window.
I mean, the number one thing is... You're not going to get that done because of international basketball, and FIBA World Cup and the Olympics is going to be an issue.
Yeah, we talked about the Olympics. But you know what? Why aren't why isn't basketball a winter Olympic sport? Which shouldn't it be a winter Olympic sport, being that, you know, it's a winter sport? So just switch it.
You're just changing the world here.
I am. Let's go, baby. Or God forbid you go amateurs again. Who cares?
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, although, you know, right now, as you guys know, it's the old heads won in on the Olympics. So yeah. It's nothing but future Hall of Famers. I mean, it was interesting, and there were good parts of the COVID season when it comes to the way it all went down. But I think you're exploring a pipe dream here, but I see some of your logic.
Is it also, I mean, we were trying to think of holes to poke in it. Because also, look, the NBA is, they don't have to compete with the NFL nearly as much. It helps the NFL, not that they need it, where they're not competing with the NBA. You separate those. Baseball's like, don't do it, but who cares? And then on top of that, the biggest hole I thought was they might push back, other than tradition and blah, blah, that, the idea is that weekends and summers, nobody watches TV. You know, summertime, everybody's vacationing and all that. I don't know if that's still true or not.
I think that's a concern. But really the biggest thing for me, not to just repeat myself, but the NBA game has become so international. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about the best players in the game, and a lot of them actually care more about playing for their national teams than a lot of American guys do. So, I don't see it happening. And I think the deep summer concern is legit as well. Just the idea that you're going to have some of your most important games in July and August and September, I think would be troublesome. Also, the NBA is printing money, so I don't know why they would change anything right now.
Good point right there. All right.
Well, that's it, Sam.
Thanks.
Rats.
Rats.
Sam, how about, the other thing we've been talking about is basically the teams that have been eliminated already. We talked about the Lakers and the Suns. If we kind of focus on those two teams right now that have interesting decisions to make in the offseason, first being their head coaches, secondly, kind of roster and, KD making him happy, LeBron making him happy. Where are you right now on kind of the Lakers coaching and Suns coaching potential there and their futures?
Well, it's funny you should ask, Jason. Every once in a while, I joke about the different team swag that finds its way back to my house. As I got on today, I happened to grab. We have another yellow towel today. The Lakers towel says it takes everybody, which I thought the motto was funny because not everybody is probably going to come with them into next season. I think that I still expect most likely, I'll couch it, but, just extremely strong signs that Darvin Ham would not be back for next year, but he's still the coach right now. And they are taking a number of days to reassess the entire season, figure out what they like, what they don't like. And there's been a lot of noise around Darvin. We obviously reported on that quite a bit. Within that, D'Angelo Russell's got a player option, which I think a lot of focus on LeBron. And obviously we know his story and situation is going to be front and center. The D'Angelo thing is actually kind of a big deal, I think, for them, because say what you will about him, he was a pretty important player for them. And if he just walks, then they got to figure that out. So they got a lot of questions to answer. And you mentioned the Suns too, Jay. Frank Vogel, similar to Darvin, job security in question. I actually think he's, we'll see. I could be wrong, but if I'm handicapping it, I wouldn't be shocked if they held on to Frank. They gave him a 5-year deal. I think there's, objectively a way you can look at that situation and say that Frank has a lot to improve on, but that he wasn't the problem, so to speak. So, it's that time of year, a lot of change for a lot of teams.
It's interesting because I'm trying to decide which way I want to go, because you mentioned the LeBron James thing and we can get back to Vogel and Ham. I'm obsessed with the LeBron James thing, not necessarily because I am obsessed with LeBron, but just that this has the ability, Sam, to be such an unprecedented thing. We've never had a father play with a son before. We've never had a situation like this. And you saw the reports. I'm sure you heard the reports or even heard the reports directly from the source, knowing you, that the Lakers were open to drafting Bronny James. And so I like a lot of other fans
on the show because you let me pump my poll, on this show. Yes, I wrote that, buddy.
Yeah, okay. I didn't want to put you on the spot, but yes. And by putting you on the spot, meaning I didn't want to give you credit for the thing that you broke. So, But here's the thing. The Lakers are open to drafting Bronny James. You know who else is probably open to drafting Bronny James? About 29 other teams. And where I'm going, you know where I'm going here, is the Kings have the number 13 pick in the draft. If they knew that LeBron James was going to follow his son anywhere, the idea becomes you're effectively trading the 13 pick in the draft to get a 3 or 4 who's arguably the greatest player of all time. LeBron said he needs time to clarify this, that, or whatever, but at least through back channels, doesn't he have to at some point clarify, no, if you draft Bronny, I'm not automatically going there? And Sam, if he doesn't clarify that, or he does say, I'm going to go where Bronny goes, doesn't that create something we've never seen before?
Yeah, but I feel like the intel and the messaging is already out there that it's not a package deal like we thought it was going to be potentially months ago. LeBron and his agent, Rich Paul, both have publicly massaged their messaging about Bronny. And honestly, it was long overdue, was making it clear that his journey and his path, just independent of everything else, was the priority, and then getting him into a good spot where, if he did enter the draft, if he did try to take a crack at the league, that, that his development and his happiness were the priorities, not, this stuff about him playing with his dad. The Lakers thing, I think, is different because that signs are already fairly strong that LeBron will stay with the Lakers. I think the possibility of having Bronny be on their G League team or be in training camp or whatever it might be is just, they are starting to treat LeBron nobody is going to ever touch Kobe's status within that organization, but he's getting a little bit of a Kobe treatment these days because they are pretty happy with him, where it is like, hey, if this is one more thing that makes your Laker experience positive and fulfilling, then we will do what we can do. That's very different than the Kings drafting Bronny and then getting LeBron. Like, it's just not happening that way anymore. And really, LeBron and his people are trying to kind of end that storyline.
So if that's the case, Sam, are the Lakers, is this like the one team that would draft him, or where does Bronny potentially go? Because is he even on people's draft boards?
I don't think so. Now, full disclosure, I haven't asked, that specific question of a bunch of teams, but, in terms of his mock draft status and what you see and hear from folks who cover the draft very closely and people around the league, is that, at best he's a late second round pick, and a guy that certainly would profile as going undrafted, if he wasn't LeBron James's son. So I do think that the Lakers thing, again, is unique. And then from there, it's just a question of, he is represented by one of, if not the most influential agencies in the game these days. And so I don't think that Rich Paul is going to struggle to find a good home for Bronny in the NBA. I don't know what that looks like, though. I think the G League is absolutely on the table, and it should be. He had a really just not impactful freshman season, has been through hell stuff. We know all that. But yeah, as far as his draft status, he's not a premier guy at all.
So I just want to drill down one last time on this, so we're clear. In your opinion, or if not your opinion, your educated opinion, obviously, no team should be looking at drafting Bronny James as any sort of increase in chance of pulling LeBron James from the Lakers. You think that's a storyline? They, regardless of who drafts him, they're not going to look at that as like, maybe we'll go to Charlotte, Sacramento, San Antonio. That's not a thing.
No, because the biggest thing is LeBron has shown no signs of being willing to take a pay cut, which is what it would happen or what it would require for the vast majority of the teams in the NBA. Because beyond that, you're really only talking about, I don't have it in front of me, but Philadelphia, Orlando, San Antonio, that have the type of cap space, to sign LeBron when you're talking about $50, $60 million a year. So that's just not, that's why the Lakers remain the leader in the clubhouse. And yes, to your question, I think that, package deal mentality and idea is not there anymore.
So on that, just one follow-up on that, is a LeBron LA reunion, if that does happen, what kind of contract are we talking about for him at this point?
It's funny because we reported two things that, you know, Shams Charania had reported in our piece that LeBron, if you were handicapping it, that like playing 1 to 2 more years appeared to be the most likely scenario. Now the 2-year thing is interesting because, and I think I have this right, you know, All-Star Weekend is in LA 2 years from now. And, you know, you talk about having a goodbye tour in the way that Kobe did. I think LeBron probably is leaning towards having something like that. So, you know, having LA All-Star Weekend as like a tentpole event to be near the end, it seems like it's something that has been discussed behind the scenes. But there's some chatter that maybe he just opts into his current deal and does one more year. I don't know at this point. Now, the Lakers, you know, we reported this too. They're so all in on LeBron and him just being part of the solution, not part of the problem, that if he wanted to talk about the 3-year deal, which is the max that he can get at this stage of his career, it's like 3 for $164 million. You know, they'd be willing to talk about that too. And I'll be honest, as I reported on this story, like asked a very specific question of Lakers people who make decisions, like, so you're ready for 42-year-old LeBron? And there was like not a hesitation at all. Like, yep, let's go. You know, so I don't see that happening, but that shows you, you know, where the Lakers are at.
I know this is an unfair question, as we talked to Sam Amick of The Athletic. LeBron James is doing unprecedented things at his age. LeBron James is still one of the best players in the NBA. I can't imagine LeBron James is worth $55 million a year from a pure basketball standpoint. So, Sam, is LeBron James to a team like the Lakers, is it just you're automatically making a profit and it has very little to do? Are there the external surrounding peripheral things with LeBron James that are really justifying that contract as much or more than the actual on-court play?
For sure. And then I would add to that by saying the Lakers – business profile is very unique in that, you know, they signed, I forget the timing, but, you know, they signed a 25-year local regional contract with Spectrum Sportsnet at the time, Time Warner, for $3 billion plus. And they have a fairly significant pressure and demand to have eyeballs on this team. They, you know, what they have got to avoid is the Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Julius Randle era, where, you know, these players either didn't develop, you know, quickly enough or got hurt and they weren't winning games and the ratings were plummeting. You know, that's just not something that's okay.
Sure.
Now, LeBron James is you know, proven a commodity when it comes to eyeballs as there is in the entire NBA. And so I think that's why they want to extend the runway.
Sam, how about LA's other team, we'll say, the Clippers? They're not out. They still could win the series, but they took a big loss yesterday. Kawhi's still out. If they were to go out, they got a brand new building coming up. They got legends that they got to decide on, whether it's Harden, Paul George, Westbrook. What could be the fallout if they're eliminated, let's say, in game 6?
It's funny. I mean, I enjoy this time of year, you guys, because, you know, it's the behind the scenes stuff and the off season transactions. And so it's like, it, you know, I feel like every couple of days we are trying to put stories together, answering those questions, like, okay, this team's out, you know, we call them obits, you mm-hmm. know, and it's obviously kind of dark, but I'm currently trying to do that with the Clippers. And, you know, we just did the Lakers one. I'm trying to get answers to those questions. You know, right out the gate, and I'm a little surprised to share this. I don't know. It sounds like even if they fall flat like they are on the verge of doing now, that running it back is the plan. Trying to re-sign Paul George, which has not happened yet. You know, they already re-signed Kawhi Leonard. James Harden, you know, they want James back. Westbrook is much, much less certain. He's got a player option for next year, and you know, that's a different conversation, I think. But I think Ty Lue is still getting a big thumbs up. The one thing you wonder, for one, Steve Ballmer being a guy who's wildly competitive and filthy rich, that's always a combination that comes with volatility potentially. Now, he actually hasn't been a very volatile owner. He's had the same front office for, I think, almost the entire time he's been there, I believe. you know, two coaches, Doc Rivers and Ty Lue. So I can't pretend to know exactly where Steve's head is at, but you know, so far what I'm learning is that they know that this is a flawed older group of future Hall of Famers, but I think it's still their best plan and the best thing to have, because you can't, you know, clear the deck and go get a bunch of new guys.
Sam Amick of The Athletic joining us. Sam, when I look at the Sacramento Kings, as we pivot there, they have four guys making $15 million or more. Malik Monk made just about $10 million last year. Trey Lyles, $8 million, et cetera. I'm using that as a base. All of those count towards the salary cap. Now, all signs seem to point, or a lot of signs seem to point, and I know you guys have reported on this, that Mike Brown's camp is looking for a contract extension. It sounds like he wants that to be an eight-figure number yearly, $10 million. My guess is, and I'm guessing here, but generally those are four-year with three opt-out or three with a two. My guess is four and three. So you're talking about, let's just say, a four-year, $40 million contract with a third-year opt-out or a mutual opt-out. And I continue to wonder, Sam, you know, number one, do you think that's something the Kings hezzy on a little bit? And number two, with it not counting towards the cap, and with that amount of money equaling to a rotational player, why do teams seemingly so often have so much hesitation when the worst-case scenario is it's like having a player you signed that turned to crap, you're going to eat some money, but again, it's not a cap effect. Why is this an issue?
It's a great question, and really, you know, you're always, yeah, there it is. Do a victory lap, buddy.
Thank you.
You know, it's been a while since you gave me a good story idea, and here you are doing it again.
Hey, it's what I do.
Because I can speculate, but I don't know the answer, because it really does seem to cause significant angst of owners.
It's unnecessary.
Yeah, you know, owners let it make the decision. You know, like the Lakers are a good example. It seems like they're going to be comfortable parting ways with Darvin, but you know, I forget if they're done paying Vogel yet. Like if you're paying multiple coaches, that bothers owners. But relative to the player salaries, to your point, it's, you know, it's not a drop in the bucket, sure, but it's not a game changer. Do I think the Kings will hezzy? And now you got me like envisioning like a Vivek, you know, jab step and hezzy.
Killer crossover.
I don't know. I'll be honest. I think, yeah, we might see a little Vivek hezzy that, especially at that kind of a number. But I'm, you know, I don't know. I haven't talked to him about it. You know, like we wrote, the messaging was that there had been a wait and see approach with Mike. But you know, we don't pick sides in this job. I think for the healthiness of their, like their organization and their culture, if they are trying to keep the momentum going forward, you know, the hezzy should be followed by an actual shot.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it is going to be a distraction. So we'll see what happens.
And an unnecessary distraction. Yeah. Look, and by the way, I don't want to, and I know you're not, I don't want to convict Vivek of a crime he hasn't committed yet. It's just, it stands to say that if there is hesitation, if by fall this hasn't been taken care of, then it's both barrels at the organization, I think, at least from my perspective. It's unnecessary. And by the way, $10 million is a lot of money. You know what else is a lot of money? Paying like four coaches at the same time because you keep recycling and firing coach after coach after coach, which I think they might still be. This might be the last year of Luke Walton. I don't think so. I think they're finally paying just one coach for the first time since 1884. They're paying just one coach. We actually have our coaches being taken and going to other teams as coaches and rumored to be going to other teams as coaches. So anyway, that's Sam Amick. He's got his finger on the pulse of the button of the thing. Read The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com. Download the app. And support Sam and his Laker tell. Thank you, Sam.
Thanks, guys. Be right, good.
Take care. That's Sam Amick. We'll take a break. When we come back, speaking of the Kings, Domantas Sabonis, could he be getting snubbed again? That is a Travis Sham mockery if he does, but we'll explain why next. Well, I'm sorry. By next, I mean next, because I want to talk to you about American Energy right now. American Energy. I wrote this jingle. American Energy. They're the best in the world. They want you to change to all electric and get $9,000 in rebates. Don't pay me enough. Seriously, $9,000 in rebates. Smud, PG&E throwing down. They're raising your rates constantly, but you can get money from them for a change with those rebates. And oh, by the way, lower those monthly heating and air conditioning bills all by yourself. Why not do that? Seriously, unless you just got a brand new system. Just let American Energy come out for free, take a look at your system, lay out for you exactly what you'd save by going all electric, and then make the decision. I'm not saying buy one, though you should. I'm saying let them come out to your house for free, spend a few minutes, they're very friendly, very nice people, and then say, hey, look, we can save you this. Here's the mathematics. It's not like, hey, buy the thing because it looks great. It's, no, dude, here's what you can save. And if the math doesn't make sense, don't do it. Of course. But know that you're dealing with a company that's locally owned and operated, that's been serving Sacramento and the greater Sacramento area since 1981, that is an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau. Call them now, 916-520-9990. That's 916-520-9990. AmericanEnergyAir.com. American Energy. Making the uncomfortable comfortable. When we come back, Monta Sabonis snubbed again. We'll talk about it next.
Jason Ross.
He has a lot of pretty smart things to say.
He's good at what he does.
On Sacktown Sports.
I saw our guy Mark in the chat on YouTube earlier, which you can join. Just go to Sacktown Sports and on YouTube. Subscribe if you haven't already. Turn the alerts on so you know when we're on, which, by the way, we're on at 6 a.m. every day, Monday through
Friday. Every day.
And watch all our shows. So Mark was in there earlier when just you were here, and he keeps asking the question, Dave, will the USFL survive? I noticed it because I just don't get those questions.
Yeah,
I don't think you get many USFL questions.
No.
No. That's
yes?
No.
Oh.
They will not.
I don't think so.
None of them will. They just won't happen. It is, in my opinion, an incredible – I mean, if you really want to get nerdy about it, when you get to those types of money levels, if you've ever seen the movie Brewster's Millions, Montgomery Brewster had an uncle that he didn't know that offered him a choice. He could, what was it, get like $1 million right away, or he had to spend $30 million in 30 days in order to get $300 million. But he couldn't keep anything of value. Like, you couldn't just go donate $30 million to charity either. And so the whole movie's about him blowing $30 million, but he can't tell anybody.
Yeah.
I used to think it was just, and you've heard me say this, I used to think the USFL and the XFL and all these FLs were rich people thinking, as they usually do, that they're smarter than the average bear about everything and just blowing money and setting it on fire and not learning their lessons. But then I started talking to people that are actually involved or know people that are involved because they're all kind of a network. It's a really good way for them to post losses so that they can back it out of their taxes at the end of the year and get deductions. The XFL and the USFL, for the most part, the people, the real money behind it, it's not like laundering money. They're not doing anything illegal. But what happens is they lose $50 million on the league. Oh, my God, he lost $50 million on the league. But then what happens is they post that $50 million loss on their overall taxes, which brings down their tax exposure. And it's all this nerdy red line back out stuff that they do, and they end up somehow making money off the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I changed my tune because I got educated. They're not being stupid. They're actually being smart. But in reality, no, these things don't have a chance.
The networks are being stupid.
Right. For real.
I love football. I love college football.
Same.
I have not. There was a highlight the other day. I guess I saw something like of a field goal.
Right.
Somebody made from like 65 yards.
Yes.
Somebody?
He I believe he
didn't
actually
he missed the first and then
made it. Yes,
that's
it was a penalty.
What I remember from the – that's the XFL?
100%.
Whatever it is.
One of them.
I don't know which it is.
You know what else I remember? He hate me.
Yeah?
That's what I remember of right. all the years of doing this. The only one that ever, ever, ever stood a chance was the original USFL that made – I think they were actually trying to take down the NFL.
Yeah.
That was at the time that the NFL was not the NFL.
They were a little vulnerable.
They were, and they're going out and they're drafting actual like Warren Moons and Steve Youngs
yeah.
and I think Herschel Walker
right.
and a number of players that would have been high draft picks in the NFL. It was almost like Live versus PGA.
Yeah, and the only way recourse these other leagues now, they're doing it by getting like high-profile coaches.
Right.
That doesn't do it.
No, and to your point, Jason, I don't really have an answer, and I need to spend some time thinking about it, but I, like you, love college football.
Yeah.
You're a UCLA guy. Mm-hmm. I'm a Florida State guy through and through. I love NFL football. Why in God's name would I not like a level of football that absolutely you'd have to say is a skill level in between? It's better
right.
than college.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure most of your USFL teams would smoke college teams just because they're older and stronger mm-hmm. and, you know, fringe
really
pros.
Good at their schools.
Very, very good yeah. at their schools. Why would we not want to watch a more quality game of football than college?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, my best answer is because there is a better one. It's the NFL.
Yes.
And then college is kind of its own entity with the pageantry
yes.
and the history there. So those have landed in two very nice sweet spots. This is not that. And maybe it takes time, but it's something that none of the time is developed for this to be even intriguing. And then you see like some of the like nobody's there.
Nobody's there.
And again, we can't get enough football, but apparently we can.
You would have to do what the USFL did in the past and get superstars from college to go there instead of the NFL.
I think you're on the right track, and I don't even know if any of this would work, but you're right. Number one, you'd have to do that, get names. I think number two, and nobody's going to want to do this, but you're going to have to market yourself as we're the unsafe football. We're going to do jacked up. We're going to have CTE leaking all over the 50-yard line. Like the only way I could possibly see an NFL making a dent, I'm going to be real brutally honest here, and it's going to piss some people off, and I'm not trying to do that. You would have to have somebody that likely leans in the world of conservatives. You would have to have them or a group. I mean, I'm talking like the Kid Rocks.
Isn't that
of the world.
NFL?
Yes, but they'd have to be open and blatant about it. And their whole thing would have to be, we stand in this league, we stand for the national anthem. In this league, we don't wear a dress when we go out and play and sack the quarterback. You'd have to lean into a little bit of misogyny. You'd have to lean into, we're going to have highlights of guys getting jacked up. And yeah, that's football. You sign up for it. If you don't like that, don't play football then. We're the man's game. I think there is a segment of people that have just I'm not trying to talk politics. I'm trying to talk money.
Right.
That there is an untapped group of people that have money and advertisers that have money that you know, the Anheuser-Busch's of the world that are still trying to recover, that would say, you know what? I want that league, and every day we're gonna play Sweet Home Alabama and you can fly all the flags you want.
Wasn't that the original XFL though?
A little bit, but different time.
And to Chris's other point, what's the last college player that you feel you could name that would draw, like that Q score that we're talking about, that you go, oh my gosh, they turned down the NFL to go to this league. I got to watch that league. Like Caleb Williams is just the number one pick.
Sure.
I don't think that does it.
No, I don't.
I think if you went back to someone like Reggie Bush.
I was literally the first name that crossed my
Tebow.
Mind. It was Reggie Bush.
And Tebow's a guy
Tebow.
They tried to get, like the Johnny Manziel.
Yes.
He kind of lost the luster.
Maybe a Baker Mayfield at the time.
Maybe. But the NFL's so powerful. There's so many great stars there. Like, even if you had, like, let's say Caleb Williams is, like, they're comparing him to, like, a Mahomes. Totally unfair.
Right.
But let's say he can become that. Like, but there's Mahomes. Like, I'm watching him. That's the NFL.
Yeah,
that's the best of the best, and he's still going. It would be tough to supplant that.
It's just, I just don't think it'd ever be big enough.
I don't think so either. The NFL's gotten so big.
No matter, there is such a...
It almost sounds like, how are we going to take down Apple?
That right, and you've got the distance between the NFL and college football, and if it was a book, would be the world's thickest book. It is way too big of a distance.
Yeah.
It's too big, and that's a problem a lot of people don't have, Jason, which is why my good friends at UpsizeMatters.com are here to help you out.
Hey,
that gets you a little bit with that? Did you know? You knew, right? Did you know?
I'll start giving him his own rundown without the...
Without yes. Don't let you, exactly. Carmichael Dave letting you know that coming up next, we will get to this bonus. Sorry, that's my fault, guys. We got sidetracked on the NFL. We'll get to that at 9. I want to talk to you about my friends at Upsize Matters, Dr. Jack Greenland, Dr. Pash in San Francisco, Dr. Jack in Roseville, of course, are here to talk to you about girth. And just about every poll, no pun intended, it's what matters. It's what adders. What I know. It's what matters more than anything. So look, there's two types. Well, there's three types out there, I guess I should say. There's the type of person that is like, I'm good. No, hey, funny commercial, I'm good. There's the type of person that goes, man, I am really insecure. I've always had an issue there, and wow, this can help. Sign me up. And then there's the person that's like, I'm good, but I want to be even better. Hey, now, go to UpsizeMatters.com. This is a doctor-performed procedure. You're not grabbing some pills off the shelf at AMPM here. These are actual docs. It's a safe, effective, long-lasting, semi-permanent, non-surgical, virtually pain-free procedure. You can get a free consultation, and the procedure can be done the same day as your consultation. Let's talk to my guys, Dr. Jack and Dr. Pash. UpsizeMatters.com. That is UpsizeMatters.com. Get your girth on when we come back. Who's hot? Who's not? We go streaking next.
What's hot?
Yeah, hot. Real hot.
And what's not?
It's not good.
Brought to you by American Energy Heating and Air, Sacramento's complete heating and cooling company and second opinion partner.
Devereaux.
Hot.
Luka Doncic.
Oh, God. What? Just burning up the buffet table?
Yesterday, he had a double-double.
I'll bet he did. In and out.
With 35 points, 10 assists. It's also his 15th career playoff game on the road, and in all of them, he has scored 20 points or more.
Yay.
He ties Michael Jordan for the most consecutive 20-point games on the road in the playoffs.
Luke, I can't believe Christopher Laud is doing a Luka Doncic. That just shows that Chris
you got sausage arms and cankles.
There it is.
There we go. That's very ethical, Chris. Yeah. Who is not?
The Clippers.
Oh, yeah.
They're the first team in NBA history to have 3 9-plus all-star players in a game and all make less than a third of their field goal attempts.
Now, is that 3 all-stars that are over the age of 9?
9-plus all-star appearances.
Okay, I got you. Okay.
Paul George was 4 of 13. James Harden was 2 of 12. And Russell Westbrook was 2 of 11.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, hey, super teams. Super team, just old.
Just old.
Exactly. Right?
Well done.
Can I tell you?
Not bad. They're just old.
They're just old.
He's just too old.
I'd like to give you guys a supplemental Who's Hot. The Airbnb rental I just found for our next show vacation. Now, we're going to have to travel a little bit. We're going to have to go to Middletown Springs, Vermont.
And what are we doing out there?
We're going to stay at the Honey Pond Farm Estate.
Okay.
Which is 575 private acres. Okay. That's a lot. With tennis, bocce ball, its own fishing pond, paddle boats, kayak, a full gym, 10 miles of hiking trails. The centerpiece of this Airbnb, Jason Ross, is a USGA-rated private golf course, which is... it is an 18-hole golf course. It includes the use of up to 8 carts, if you want. And you can stay there and play golf all day long, relax in the lazy river, maybe get a morning workout. I don't even know how the hell many bedrooms they have. Probably a lot. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 bedrooms, all with king beds. Also Wi-Fi.
Hey, there you go, bonus.
Now, the downside.
Okay. The price?
Little bit. It's okay. 8 bedrooms, 6.5 bathrooms.
But all the golf you want.
All the golf you want. Now, on the surface, but then I need to do the math here. So it is a 3-night minimum at $5,000 a night, which is a lot of money. So $15,000 plus with cleaning fee and Airbnb, it's probably $20,000. But now I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, so $20,000 for 3 nights. But if you brought, well, I guess if you brought 10 people, that's $2,000 for 3. Okay, that's still like $700 a night. But if you brought 15 people, okay, mm-hmm. which it says you, it's got 17 beds, Jason.
Well, now you're closer to right, a little over 1,000 a night.
1,000 divided by 15. That's
like 1,100.
1,333 repeating divided by 3. $444 a night.
This seems like a cash grab.
You got 8 carts, mm-hmm. 2 per. That's
well, an bring 16.
Yeah, right. Now you're down to like $400 a night.
Okay.
Now you got to fly there and all that expense, of course.
To Vermont,
but what a nice place.
I have not been to Vermont.
That is one of the states I've not been either. To Montana or Vermont. It pisses me. I know.
Those are the only two?
I've not been to Montana, Vermont, North Dakota, or
you've been Massachusetts. To South Dakota.
I have been to South Dakota.
And Connecticut.
Yes, I have to both. How'd you know that?
Because he didn't say that wasn't one of the things.
Oh, good point. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But I've been, yeah.
You're at that many?
Massachusetts, Montana, and North
Alaska?
Dakota. And Alaska. You're right. Every other one I've been to.
South Carolina. Mississippi?
Mississippi. I've been there a couple times. Yeah.
Maine?
But, now, does it count if I drove through it? Because then
I think you have to have at least a meal in the state.
I ate Mississippi. I ate at a Waffle House in Mississippi. Okay.
Well, driving through, you spend some time.
Yeah.
Like flying, I don't think you can, like, hey, I had a layover.
Right,
and no, you weren't there.
No, the RV trip knocked out a lot of states.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the RV trip knocked out a lot of states. Okay. Anyway, so that's where we're going in Fall Guys. Who's not? Fall Guy, that's a good show.
We already did.
Yeah, we already did that. The Clippers.
Oh, yeah, the Clippers. Well, let's go streaking then.
Okay.
I know who's not.
Go streaking.
We're going streaking!
Who is the Nostradamus of MLB?
Who can keep the streak going? It's time to go streaking.
What the hell are you doing?
We're streaking.
All right. Dave had his 7-game hit streak end the other day when you went with Aaron Judge. So you said, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to take Mookie Betts. No, wait. I'm going to go back to Aaron Judge.
I did.
To see if he could start anew.
Like an idiot.
Yankees did win 2-0. The Yankees win. Aaron Judge, 4 plate appearances. Ofa. Ofa Foa.
Yeah.
No streak. You're at 0 still.
Yeah.
Is he a combined 0 for 7 when Dave picks him?
Yes, Judge is 0 for 7. We'll see what Dave does today.
You can't go over 10.
I was at a 2-game hitting streak. I took from the Cleveland Guardians, Jose Ramirez.
Uh-huh.
He had 4 plate appearances. He had 0 hits. Thanks.
Boo, yeah. You suck.
Yeah. Sorry. It's over now. Move over.
I keep you going.
It's over.
I can't win.
It's over, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. And Chris was at 0. So Dave's now 0. I'm 0. Chris was at 0. He went with the Oakland Athletics, the very hot A's.
Hot A's.
Tyler Nevin. And when Chris picked him, I went, who's that?
So did I.
And Tyler Nevin got up 4 times. He knocked in a run. He got 2 hits and a home run. So Chris is the show leader now with a 1-game hit streak.
Well done.
So Dave, it's your pick. Thursday's usually a little lighter.
Well.
Less games.
Yeah.
But he's playing.
I'll tell you this. I said it at the beginning of the show. Well, sort of the beginning of this. Beginning of my show. Luis Arraez was the bane of my existence last year in this game. Screwed me over quite a few times, and he got put on the shelf. I'm not ready to do that with Aaron Judge yet. I'm going to give Aaron Judge not one, not two, but because he's born in Sacramento, his third and final chance. If Aaron Judge, I'm talking to you now, Aaron. I know you listen. You don't come through for me today, we're done for the year. I will not pick Aaron Judge. I don't care if Aaron Judge is 90 of 91. I will not pick Aaron Judge the rest of the year. So for perhaps the final time.
All rise.
All rise.
Okay. You know what? I do not have that same kind of proclamation with Aaron Judge. If I ever were to pick him, I wouldn't be done with him if he didn't get a hit. But you know what? I'm going to support you.
Yeah? You're all rising?
Yeah.
With Aaron Judge?
Yeah.
Wow. Lot riding on Aaron Judge.
Looks like I'm about to take a 2-game streak.
Because?
Because he's not getting a hit.
Thanks.
Oh, wait. I'd be a 3? No, 2. 1?
You're only at 1 right now.
It's just 1.
Yeah, cool it over there.
Yeah, butt face.
I'm taking Jaron Duran of the Boston Red Sox.
Ah, I love Jaron Duran.
He doesn't know how to hit.
Jaron Duran.
Yes.
Okay.
He has got a good reflex.
He sure does. We have sort of, but not really, breaking news from Adrian Wojnarowski, but kind of. Milwaukee's Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard are both working to try to make a return versus Indiana for Game 6 tonight, but still unclear if either will be able, according to ESPN.
What
kind of a garbage nipple report is that? That is the dumbest report ever.
The teams are planning to play tonight.
They're doing everything in their powers to play.
Doing everything in their power to play, still not sure if they can play. Breaking news. They're working. You know what? I also have breaking news. Indiana is laser focused on winning tonight's game and closing out the Milwaukee Bucks at home. Still unsure if they can pull it off, but everyone on deck to try to get this done. It's really important, according to sources, to management.
Yeah.
Come on, Woj. What a great report.
Thanks for nothing.
Thanks for not. What a wiener schnitzel.
Wow.
The worst thing I could call him. Mm-hmm. We'll take a break. When we come back, the Miami Heat reportedly are really focused in this offseason on improving and making a finals run next year, according to my sources. We'll talk about that and do a little post-mortem on Eric Spoelstra and friends. We'll do that next.